the Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Tuesday, June 30. I am your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Liat employees told that the matter of their salaries will be urgently addressed at a meeting of the airline's creditors and stakeholders after a decision was announced on Saturday to wind up Liat 1974 Limited. 20 visitors to Antigua who tested positive for COVID-19 have returned to the U.S., having booked flights the following day after receiving their positive result. And a couple pointed a pistol and what appears to be an assault rifle at the crowd demonstrating in St. Louis on Sunday outside the home of one of the mayor's neighbors to urge Mayor Lydia Crewson to resign. The details coming up. Former magistrate and attorney at law Tiani Mihanzin has made public some cases which are concluded and are ongoing as regards the legalization of cannabis, its religious sacrament, and the economic benefits to a country like Dominica and to the Caribbean. Mihanzin spoke to Q95's Global View on Q, hosted by Sheridan Gregoire.
The issue of cannabis as a sacrament ought to be discussed, and the Caribbean should be looking at such things. But a lot of the countries that have legalized have already dealt with it. I think the Honourable Doctor have mentioned that in terms of the partnership between the government of Antigua and part of the Rastafarian community, because it's not just a unified community. But there is a very significant piece of case law that came out last year in St. Kitts by the Honourable Justice Ventus, the very same Ventus who was asked and forced today to recuse himself from the election petition matter. This case was very significant in that it established that the cannabis is in fact a sacrament for the Rastafarian community, and they do have a religious right to express themselves. And secondly, which is important for all of us, is that the respect for privacy. So you can in fact smoke cannabis at your home, and the state must respect your privacy. Now, there is talk about this for some time. I mean, I myself had this on our program with Dr. IP in 2015. But now, because of that piece of legislation, I think Justice Ventus gave the government a period of time to change the law. Instead, what they did is to move towards legalization. So therefore, there was no need to address that.
Mihanzin went on to give some details of a case that he himself is leading in St. Lucia on the basis of challenging the legality and constitutionality of denying Rastafarians the use of cannabis on the issue of sacrament and privacy. Additionally, a four-year-old case has been filed in the Dominica courts, which deals with a constitutional administrative challenge to the Roosevelt-Skerrit administration's legalization of cannabis. However, this case has been delayed because of the judicial monopoly of the administration.
In St. Lucia, as I practice in St. Lucia as well, I have a colleague, Mr. David Moyston, a Jamaican, former Jamaican national, but practices in St. Lucia, my very good colleague. We always enjoy our lunch at Liberty, a herbal place for good food by Dr. Honorable Priest Kailash. And he has put in a case just a few days ago. We have been collaborating on this. To challenge the legality and constitutionality of denying Rastafarians the use of cannabis on those two basic principles. One, on the issue of the sacrament, and second, the issue of privacy. So those cases going through. But there is such a case in Dominica filed some years ago, I believe about 3 or 4 years ago, by Mr. Shillingford. And that case deals with a constitutional administrative challenge to the government legalization of cannabis. And I believe it's gone to the first stage, which is you first apply for leave. Leave is then granted and then substantive matters dealt with. But for some reason, most cases against the government are tied up in the system and never see light of day. So that thing is about 4 years old. But the case in St. Lucia is very significant. I have been instructed by a private organization in St. Lucia to make a special application to the government, which has already passed through aspects of the cabinet. And this case with my colleague David Moyston will in fact see the St. Lucian government defeated on this because it was never challenged. Fentis's decision was never challenged. So it's just a matter of time.
Attorney Tiani Bihanzen. The Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, DAIC, and the Climate Resilience Execution Agency for Dominica Creed hosted the second level of the MSME Virtual Financial Management Training via Zoom. The session sought to ensure that all participants understand the importance of record keeping, basic bookkeeping terms, fundamental knowledge of the bookkeeping process, and the effects of bookkeeping on financial statements. The three main financial statements, balance sheet, income statement, and statement of cash flow were presented and carefully explained. The accounting equation must include assets, liabilities, and equity. Transactions must be categorized, taking into consideration the balance sheet, income statement, and statement of cash flow, and debit and credit transactions must be accurately recorded, detailing the giver and receiver. The partners encourage all businesses to understand and implement the principles and advice shared in this session in order to make improved and sound operational and investments decisions. Sagico Board Member at Sagico Life Inc. and Chief Operating Officer at Sagico Financial Corporation, Ravi Clifton Rambaran, has revealed some new tweaks and changes to be implemented in the company's general operations throughout the Caribbean, considering the advent of the COVID-19 crisis. Rambaran says increased digitization will make increased safety and efficiency of clients and staff a reality. Due to the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, the company will also be assisting various governments in the recovery stage of their economies.
First change you would have seen to date and should continue to see is increased digitization, because we have to balance health and safety with the conduct of business. So that is a change you would see. The second change is that we are revising some of our products because we recognize that disposable income would be less, but with a paradoxical situation where the need to be insured, the need to have investment coverage is greater. So you should also see that. And I think that what you'd also see is that we have people who are at risk within our staff and advisor base. So you should also expect to see those who are at risk until there is a vaccine or there is certainty of the resolution of COVID-19, that those individuals will continue to work from home. And greater and greater communication and engagement, both at a stakeholder level, but even more so at a societal level, because as a major financial institution, we recognize that various governments are now putting their minds to recovery, not just managing the health side of the crisis. And Sagico as a major investor, as a major institution in the Caribbean, that we also have a role. So you'll see more vigorous engagement at various levels.
Ravi Clifton and Rambaran. Liat employees have been told that the matter of their salaries will be urgently addressed at a meeting of the airline's creditors and shareholders. After years of financial woes and bailouts, a decision was announced on Saturday to wind up Liat's 1974 Limited, formerly known as Leeward Islands Air Transport. The issue of intra-regional connectivity is admittedly critical to the islands which the airline serviced, and its owners have said that a new airline will be established, possibly on the same name. Honorable Gaston Brown, Prime Minister of Antigua, where Liat is based, believes the airline is a proud symbol of Caribbean history and should not be erased. The Honorable Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Chair of the Shareholders of Liat, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, signed a letter to the carrier's hundreds of employees informing them of the disappointing news that the airline is insolvent. He assured them that their outstanding remuneration will be discussed at a meeting. Dominica will feel the loss heavily since Liat is one of six airlines that service the island, which does not have an international airport. Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt said Dominica will support the new airline. You can see a copy of the letter on Q95's website, www.q95da.com. Acting General Manager at Petrocaribe Dominica Gibbs Stevenson says in some way, shape, or form, the life of every Dominican has been impacted by the results yielded from the Petrocaribe Agreement. He says under the social project and programs alone, Dominicans have benefited approximately US $100 million. Monday observed the 15th anniversary of its agreement in Dominica.
I could name a few projects I'm sure that you can identify with around the island. The Petro Casa housing project, the sea defense walls in Sufria, the construction of fisheries feeding stations around the island, the metal waste removal projects in Jimit and Portsmouth, water projects in Daly Seas, Warner, Campbell, to name a few. Overall, the Petrocaribe initiative has yielded tremendous benefits for all Dominicans.
Acting General Manager at Petrocaribe Dominica Gibbs Stevenson. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says six pieces of legislation will be taken to Parliament in September. These include the Hospital Authority Bill, the Medical Professionals Bill, the Nursing Professions Bill, and the Pharmacy and Allied Health Bills. He says September will be declared Health Transformation Month.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Six pieces will be ready in September. So I'm saying to the country, based on the advice of the Health Commission, we will go to Parliament in September, God's willing, and declare September Health Transformation Month.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Minister for National Security Raymond Blackmore says Dominica has embraced Haitian nationals to the island seeking a better way of life. However, he says it is a reasonable expectation for all Haitian nationals to respect the laws of the country. A number of Haitian nationals have been given citizenship, permanent residency, as well as work permits so that they can live dignified lives in Dominica. In the recent past, a number of Haitians, along with Dominicans, have been arrested in some neighboring islands for illegally entering their countries by boat from Dominica.
The government of Dominica has a fundamental duty to our national and regional safety and security. Let me make it clear, as a minister responsible for national security and home affairs, I'm not going to stand for that nonsense. And I'm not ruling out having the police rounding up all undocumented Haitian nationals to have them return to the country as soon as possible.
Blackmore says to Dominicans who aid and abet the illegal transport of Haitian nationals, they are equally responsible and culpable under the law.
And you should be ashamed of yourselves. You are not only risking the lives of the poor Haitian people who are seeking a better way of life, you are also compromising and risking the safety of the Dominican people. And that is totally unacceptable. I am therefore calling on the police to use all necessary means and measures to apprehend all those responsible for this gross un-Dominican illegal act. I'm also calling on all the law-abiding Haitians residing in Dominica, in the main Haitians are hardworking people, and most of them are law-abiding residents of Dominica, so to speak. So I'm calling on you to actually work with the police and the Ministry of Home Affairs to bring an end to this madness. Because I can say to you that the leaders of the various countries have been calling and expressing their disgust. So we have a responsibility, a collective responsibility as Dominicans, as community, and to actually help in bringing an end to this illegal and un-Dominican act.
National Security Minister Raymond Blackmore. Meanwhile, Police Chief Daniel Carbon has made a call to the communities to aid the police in clamping down on the perpetrators.
My call is the communities. Dominica has a lot of porous borders. We have a lot of beaches. And we have a lot of so-called fishermen, boats and engines. And so we have a lot of pirates. I can say that too. A lot of pirates in that regard. And so we need the intelligence in real time. We are very committed. We've been having task force assigned to the patrols to prevent that type of activity. We do robust, unpredictable patrols, both on land and on sea. People in the communities out there know what is happening. It's a fact. Give us the intelligence when the boats are leaving. We have our own intelligence, but provide us with more intelligence because we are committed in fighting the cause. Many Haitians are leaving Dominica illegal.
Police Chief Daniel Carbon. Chief Executive Officer of Discover Dominica Authority Colin Piper says staycation is going to be a very important stepping stone coming from 3 months' closure to reopening guest houses and hotels initially to residents and locals. There will be deals on hotel stays, food and beverage, and tours. 11 properties and 3 tour operators have indicated interest in offering deals for staycation.
And typically what happens is as the program rolls out, then you have more people coming on board. So we really want to stress the importance of this staycation period to provide a little ease up for the Dominicans who have been, you know, in lockdown and now have the opportunity to go out. But what we are saying is there's ample opportunity for you to do that here. There are properties here that can offer you great relaxation. There are tour operators that can offer you great tours. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to experience what Dominica has to offer. So we'll be coming out in the next week or so once we have the hotels assessed and certified. And then you'll start seeing the specials.
DDA CEO Colin Piper. And the Ministry of Health has communicated that persons coming into Dominica must have a PCR test done, preferably within 72 hours, and must complete an online questionnaire. Health Minister Dr. Irvin McIntyre says this questionnaire will give the health authorities an idea as to what category each person falls into, whether it be low, high, medium risk, so that measures can be taken accordingly. In addition to this, a rapid antibody test will be performed upon arrival.
So you're coming in before, it's best that you have a PCR test. When you come here, we still do the rapid test, and based on the results of the rapid test, we can decide where we filter you. Most of these test kits, you can get it within 10 to 15 minutes. So we've devised a plan that will have someone doing the documentation, someone doing the testing part, so that we can get it done in a much quicker period of time. If you have a positive IgM, which means you might be likely to have it, then we have to do swabbing. So we also can do swabbing at our environmental health office at the Douglas Child.
Dr. McIntyre says if the person is IgM positive, it is very likely that they could have been in contact with someone with COVID recently. Hence, this person will go to the secondary screening site and does not enter the terminal.
Where we can do a PCR test now, and this person goes to the quarantine facility or a designated facility by the government until we get the results in 24 hours. The visitor will pay for the PCR test. Definitely. If the person is positive IgG, that means they have immunity, then they are free to go and through the terminal. And if the person is negative for both IgG and IgM, then that person is still followed up. So that is where the surveillance in the district and at the hotels is of paramount importance. Since we have the PCR before, since we have the rapid test before, we feel confident that we can send our Dominicans to their homes, their residence. However, all of this information goes out to the district team, and the district team monitors them. So it's basically self-quarantine. But it is supervised, it is monitored, and we'll be taking a look at all of these. So yes, they can go home, but not just free for all. We will be monitoring them, we'll be supervising them. So it's self-quarantine, and we'll be so. But we're only doing that because we had 2 tests already.
Health Minister Dr. Irvin McIntyre. In other news, Health Minister in Antigua, Mulwin Joseph, says the 20 visitors who tested positive for the coronavirus have returned to the United States. It was revealed over the weekend that some of the visitors booked flights the following day after receiving their positive result. All of the positive tests, apart from the people who came in from the Dominican Republic, I'm talking now about the 39, which was a combination of people coming from the Dominican Republic and some visitors who came to Antigua and Barbuda, all the visitors have since returned to the United States, Joseph said. Earlier, Prime Minister Gaston Brown said they were threatening hotel staff and the government with a lawsuit if they did not allow them to leave the country. And a couple pointed a pistol and what appears to be an assault rifle at the crowd demonstrating in St. Louis on Sunday outside the home of one of the mayor's neighbors to urge Mayor Lydia Crewson to resign. A demonstration in St. Louis led to a heart-pounding scene outside the home of one of the mayor's neighbors. A man and woman pointed a pistol. The couple was confronting hundreds of protesters who passed through their gated community.
A demonstration in St. Louis led to a heart-pounding scene outside the home of one of the mayor's neighbors. You can see a man and a woman pointing a pistol and what looks like an assault rifle at the crowd yesterday. The couple was confronting hundreds of protesters who passed through their gated community to urge Mayor Lyda Crewson to resign. On Friday, during a Facebook Live event, Crewson read the personal information of demonstrators who want the city's police department defunded. More than 40,000 people have signed an online petition demanding the mayor step down. The video has since been deleted, and Crewson has apologized. She also said the names and addresses she read out, Tony, are public information. And luckily, with regards to that video, no one was hurt.
No one was hurt in that video with the gun on the porch. But that information, while it may be public, it wasn't as public as being read out loud. There's a difference between it being technically accessible and being broadcast out there. So I'm glad that things went in a safer direction, but it could have gone in a better direction from the beginning.
And that's the midday news. First, a recap of the headlines. Liat employees told that the matter of their salaries will be urgently addressed. 20 visitors to Antigua who tested positive for COVID-19 have returned to the U.S., and a couple pointed a pistol at what appears to be an assault rifle at the crowd demonstrating in St. Louis on Sunday outside the home of one of the mayor's neighbors to urge Mayor Lyda Crewson to resign. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.